Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
We only have two more days in our fast for this year. Yeah. It's been quite the ride, quite a journey. It always is.
And I wonder if anybody has thought over this last 38 days or so if we were fasting from food for 4 days, because somebody's going to be really hungry right
Definitely
now.
Not. And say,
this was not a fast from food. It was a fast from wrong thinking.
Correct.
And it really is one of the most powerful tools that I've ever experienced, that God's ever shown me.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful for everybody that jumped on. And by the way, if you didn't join us on our fast from wrong thinking when we started it, we started around 40 days. We started like 3 weeks or 5 weeks into the new year, because by then most people's New Year's resolutions have failed. But what doesn't fail is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And people renewing their minds to God's Word, it transforms them.
Yeah.
And that's why fasting from wrong thinking is so powerful. And so jump on there. You can go to fastfromwrongthinking.com. You can start today. You can start tomorrow.
Not too late.
And you can start anytime. You can start it over again when this is done.
For sure.
And I want to pick out like five or six of my favorite days, and I'm going to re-show you some of the favorites that I have. And
it's funny you mentioned that, because we actually got a couple of our staff members, our team, to point out some of their favorite thoughts from the fast in
let's
general. So we have one more video we want to show you guys a little bit from our team. So let's key that.
So the fast from wrong thinking day that stood out to me was definitely day 26, which was I am stuck. I have a tendency to plateau, whether it be with life or work or even my own spiritual growth. Pastor just reminded us that we could just pray about it and that God is always willing to provide when it comes to whatever our needs are. We are in God's provisions.
I feel anxious day 6. You have the power to change the anxiety by using prayer. Because God gave us the power to pray when anything tries to attack us. You are powerful, and you have every right to take those negative thoughts down.
My favorite day was day 9. I feel like a victim. One of the main points that I really received was taking responsibility for your attitude and the thing that you can't control, focusing on the perspective of things and controlling how you see things. That's how you can get out of that victim mentality.
Day 29, I feel stressed out, definitely stood out to me, because personally, I feel stress over small things. One of the points that Pastor made was that the treasure is bigger than our troubles, which is amazing, just because no matter what circumstance we're in, God's love will carry us through and we're gonna make it in the end.
I love day 23. I tried to forgive, but I don't feel it. I used to think that if I don't feel like forgiving this person, it meant I still had bitterness. But after reading this day and going through this devotion, it just showed me that forgiveness is a choice. It's a gift that we can give people. And it's so freeing to know that now, not to be a slave to my feelings.
Day 36, it was the negative attitude. Cause you know what? That's where I was at. My car had just like broke down, every light on. I'm like, how am I gonna be able to get a new car? And then I got this from Pastor. And what was the main point? God is a God of yes, not no. God said that he's not gonna withhold anything good for me. So you know what? I'm on cruise control right now, because God's gonna do it. And I'm sitting back and I'm just expecting the goodness that he's gonna give me. That's how my emotions changed from being negative Nancy to positive JoJo.
Oh man, I love that.
Vroom, vroom.
Cruise control,
cruise
baby.
Control, yeah. That's an incredible feature on a car, cruise control, because that is really what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be cruising through this thing. His yoke is easy. His burden is light.
Yep.
Right? So thank 100%. You for all that, all those testimonies, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm real, really encouraged by that.
100%. And it's just great. We have such a great team. So
amazing team. The
I
best.
Hope you guys were blessed by that, and you get to see some faces of just some of the people that make all of this happen.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's really special.
I love all of our team. I love our church. I love our family globally, our partners, our friends, the people that watch us online, the people that come to the building every time we have a communion service, and we'll be announcing our next one soon. So it's not going to be long before we're having services every Sunday in person and online.
Right.
But right now, it's just been a gift from God to be able to stay connected and to be able to stay walking in love with each other and to be able to grow and really reach more people than we've ever reached before. So I want to thank all of our church members and all the people that are joining in for their participation in giving.
Yes.
Wow, what Alex shared about giving, was so good at that giving is living. If you're not giving, you're not living. There really is true that you're not really experiencing the God kind of life until you're imitating what God does best. And what God does best is he loves, and love always gives.
Yeah.
You know, I've always thought this about God's love is that God's love is always accompanied with a gift.
Mm.
Like he never loves with just words. He always loves with action.
Mm.
And my favorite verse, it's become my favorite verse in the Bible, the most well-known verse in the Bible is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That it really explains everything. First of all, it tells us what God feels towards us. He loves us. God so loved. Tells us that he loves everybody. God so loved the world. And it tells us how he loved, by giving.
Yeah.
And then giving his son and whoever believes in him, what a gift that not only is his son our gift, but just to only have to believe in him to be saved.
Right.
I know some Christians struggle with the concept that salvation has nothing to do with us and everything to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
And the only way to, and all that we have to do is just accept the gift, just receive the free gift.
Yeah.
We don't have to give him another gift back to make it a Christmas. Like at Christmas time, some people give you stuff, and then you give stuff to some people, but you don't get a gift from everybody you give a gift to. Otherwise, we're just trading.
Right.
We should just keep it ourselves, and we take stuff back anyway, right? We should just get stuff for ourselves if we're going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't mean to ramble here, but no, I feel the spirit of love is found in giving.
Yeah.
And it's found in letting go.
Yeah.
And it's found in trusting God. And I'm really just honored to be able to teach people about God's love and really get into what we've been talking about, how we're leading with love.
Yeah.
We lead with love, we lead from love, we lead because of love.
Mm.
And it's because we love you that we want to lead you to a higher place.
Come on.
I want to lead you guys to a better place, to a higher place. And you asked me a few weeks ago, Joseph, you said, hey, Dad, what do you think about going back to something you preached a few years ago to our staff? It was like 15 and then it became 16 things. And I think I'm good with 16. It became 16 things that Jesus said to Peter.
Yeah.
And each one of those things was like one of the missing pieces in Peter's life.
Mm.
Each thing that God spoke. You know the song we were doing that you led, which was amazing, by the way? Part of that song says, he picked up all the pieces and put me back together.
Yeah.
That God picks up our pieces, puts us back together. When Jesus said these 16 different things throughout his ministry 3 years to Peter, for me, it was like the 16 pieces that Peter was missing in his life.
Mm.
And every one of those pieces I was missing in my life till Jesus put the pieces back together. And and so I really thought it was prophetic that you encouraged me to come back to this topic. And I think we're on the third one now.
Yeah.
This is our third week.
It's been
and
awesome.
I want to encourage everybody to stay with us this whole time.
Yeah.
Because the reason, now Jesus told Peter 16 things, and I want to, and then you can just fire away with any questions or any thoughts you have. But This is the most that Jesus spoke to anybody in the Bible. No, but Jesus didn't say 16 things to anybody else. No, but this is the most he told to any human being individually, 16 different things. Most of the disciples, you don't see Jesus saying hardly anything to them individually, one thing or two things here and there, but to Peter, 16 things. And every one of them was a part of his development in becoming the man that he became when he preached after the resurrection of Jesus and 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. And then he preached the second sermon, 5,000 people were saved.
Yeah.
This is from a guy who cut people's ears off, who sank in the water, who Jesus nicknamed Satan, who denied the Lord three times before 5 a.m. one day. And if God can use him, God can use me.
Yeah.
If God can use him, God can use you.
Yep. 100%.
So it's pretty cool.
100%. I think We don't really need to recap a ton from the first two. I think we should just dive in,
yeah,
because of time.
We're dope.
But
we're in.
But yeah, like you said, this is one of the best series, and it's so applicable. That's what's important, is that Peter represents us,
really,
and it's very applicable. So everyone listening, get this.
And God's called you to lead. You might not be leading a church, but you're leading a family. And
yeah,
you say, well, I'm not even leading a family. Well, you're leading your business. Well, I'm not leading a business. Well, you're leading your life.
Yeah.
And you need to be leading your life at a high level.
Yeah.
Living your life at a high level. Everybody's called to lead. And you know what? If you don't think you're called to be a leader, I'm going to tell you the most important thing you could do in leading anything is to lead someone to Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, I've led churches, I've led events, I've led my family, I've led a lot of things, but there's nothing quite like leading somebody to Jesus Christ,
yeah,
and see that person go from lost to found,
awesome,
broken to healed, purposeless to finding their destiny,
yeah,
in Jesus. There's, yeah, nothing quite like it, and I want to encourage you that everybody is somebody to God, and everybody matters, and you matter.
Yep.
And you might think, well, I'm just trying to get my bills paid. That's okay. Get your bills paid, but you can become a leader at getting your bills paid by following these truths.
Yep.
You can become a leader at your job, a leader in your business, a leader in your, you know what? Everybody should lead a watch party. Everybody should lead a watch party. First of all, everybody's called to party, okay? And so the best party I can encourage you to get involved in is start a watch party
and get
people watching our Sunday service. By the way, this Sunday, I'm going to be breaking down how to be free from stress forever.
Woo.
So I really want to encourage you to get your friends on Sunday. And I'm not trying to say, you know, plug a commercial here tonight, but I really want you to get your family, get your loved ones, get people watching this,
yeah,
this Sunday, because it's really going to set you free.
Can't wait.
Is going to set you free emotionally, physically, in every way. You'll see. Just wait.
Can't wait.
And but Jesus said something to Peter in John chapter 1, Joseph, in verse 41, and I particularly like what he says in the New American Standard Bible, so okay, I just wrote it to myself, and I'll say, so Andrew found his brother Simon in verse 41 of John 1 and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. And Andrew brought Simon, his brother, to Jesus, and when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas, which translates into a rock or a stone. So, you know, have you ever, when you first see a person, as soon as you see somebody, you might think of them a certain way. Mm. As soon as you see that person, you think, oh, that person's a winner, or that person's a loser. Hopefully you don't think that. But when we were kids, we always labeled the new kid at school.
Sure.
And we always got labeled by somebody at school.
Right.
And they would give us, as soon as they saw us, they would give us a name. And it was always, it was a form of bullying. So I don't encourage it at all unless it's a good name. But my point is that as soon as it says, Jesus looked at him one time, all it took was one look. And in one look, Jesus changed this man's name.
Mm.
And in one look, Jesus said, this is who you've been, but this is who you're going to be.
Awesome.
This is who you were. You were Simon, son of John, but you're going to be called Cephas. And Jesus called Peter something that he wasn't at the time.
Wow.
He called him, he was Simon, and it literally means, Simon means a branch blowing in the wind.
Hmm.
A branch that just blows in every direction because of the wind. And he said, you have been a branch blown in every direction. Anybody feel like that sometimes? You're just blown in any direction. You know, financial problem hits you and you blow one way. Husband-wife situation hits you and you're blown another way. A physical thing hits you and you're blown another way. You seem to just, you're going back and forth, but you're just being pushed around by life. That's what Simon means.
Yeah, wow.
To be pushed around by life and by life circumstances.
Wow.
And Jesus said, that's who you used to be, but let me tell you who you are now. You are going to be called Cephas, which means Peter, which is translated as rock. Mm. Because let me tell you something, rocks don't get moved around by the wind.
Yeah.
Rocks don't get pushed around by bullies.
Right.
Rocks don't get pushed around by life circumstances. Rocks don't get pushed around by the wind. Rocks stay in one place and they're firm and they are something that gives people something to hold on to.
Awesome.
And a rock is something you build your life on. And a rock is something that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon this rock.
Come
and
on.
The gates of hell isn't going to prevail against this church. So, man, you're going from being shaken in the wind all the time to being a rock. That
yes.
is a miracle. This
yes.
is what Jesus said to Peter. If we get a hold of what he really calls us, woo, let me tell you something. Man, God has healed my voice. I used to not be able to say woo that high for several years. So I'm pretty happy that I can say that now again,
That's
like
amazing.
The old days. But you're doing a great job with those woos.
Oh, my gosh.
And so is our worship team. But
right.
What do you think of this word? He changed his name.
Well, I think it's amazing because you pointed out how, like, humans, like people, have first impressions, and we obviously don't endorse bullying. Obviously,
yeah, no way.
But internally, like that,
we bully ourselves.
Everyone is guilty of giving someone a label or having a first impression and just kind of attaching that to a person. Like, oh, okay, so that person's kind of weird or that person's kind of awkward or whatever. We do that internally, naturally, and so I love how you pointed that out. That Jesus. He's not moved by first impressions. He's not moved by, and we this is like preaching to the choir, obviously, because he's not moved by our past. He's not moved by our mistakes. But just how everyone else would see Peter and think, oh, like you're that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you know what? No, like where everyone would see an issue or would see, a branch moved in the wind. I see a rock, and I want to build on this rock. And so I love that because that's real for us being on the other side of, labels that we get from people, that if we go into a new environment or we are bold about our faith and people on social media or people in our workplaces may judge us or may think like, oh, well, you're just a Bible boy or a Bible, whatever. We can't be moved by people's impressions on us.
I kind of like that Bible boy. That would make a good little kids TV show or something.
Oh, wow.
Bible boy. He stretches his,
yeah,
lives by faith.
Yeah, maybe. No, never mind. but anyway, so we can't be moved. We can't sell ourselves short based on the first impression.
We
have to be able to believe in ourselves enough to give us grace that and know there's more for us.
You know, it's so good what you're saying. And Jesus gave his first impression of Peter, of Simon at the time, and he calls him Peter. It's so funny. Like, if anybody had the right to judge Peter, if anybody had the right to look at Peter in a negative light, it was Jesus. And Jesus, who has the right to look at him in a negative way, chooses to look at him towards his future. He looks at him from the perspective of what God thinks of him,
yeah,
and of what God says about him. And God always does that. He took Abram and he said, no longer are you going to be called Abram, which means exalted father, but you're going to be called Abraham, which means father of a multitude of nations.
Mm.
Throughout scripture, we see God renaming people and erasing the impressions that we had of ourselves,
yeah,
erasing the impressions that others created for us, whether it was our parents, our teachers, because Peter's parents called him Simon. For some reason, they gave him this limited name. They gave him this name that was a weak, inferior name. You're just a reed blowing in the wind. Like, what were they thinking to call their kid that? Like, right? Like, usually parents want to name their kids something that they can be proud of and something that their kids can, can think one day, wow, why did you name me that? Well, because of this and because of that. And so Jesus gives us a new name, and I really want to encourage people to see tonight, Jesus sees the greatness in us,
yeah,
long before it ever shows up.
Because
there was 3 years that went by before Peter does anything great. Up until then, for 3 years, he does everything bad, and yet he's still one of Jesus' disciples.
Yeah.
So be encouraged, you bad doers out there. Be encouraged, the Christians out there that are thinking, man, I haven't done anything good for God in a while, and and I don't see much greatness in me. Well, God sees greatness in you.
Yeah.
And God sees the rock in you, and God sees that new identity and that new impression in you, and he calls you that. Even if you don't call yourself that, he calls you that. And if we want to really honor God, the best way to honor God is to get in agreement with him.
Mm.
And to be in agreement with God is powerful, because if two shall agree, it shall be done. Why can't that agreement be between God and me? It can. And he says that you're great. He says you're a rock.
Yeah.
So stop calling yourself what your parents called you. Stop calling yourself loser. Stop calling yourself failure. Stop calling yourself, I'm a candidate for heart disease because my parents had it. And we start defining ourselves by what our upbringing was. We define ourselves by what our parents called us. We define ourselves by the curse that's handed down from generation to generation. Well, Jesus redeemed us from the curse.
Yeah.
So we're not a part of that bloodline anymore of Adam's. We're a part of Jesus' royal bloodline, and God has a new impression of us. He has a new name for us,
yeah,
and he has a new destiny for us. And if we will agree with him about what he calls us, it will only be a matter of time before we're experiencing everything he calls us,
yeah,
happening in our lives.
Come on. The other thing I love is that, like, God's building his kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a builder. He's a visionary. He's a builder. And he uses people to build his kingdom.
That's right.
And so when he saw Peter, he saw a rock that he could build upon.
Yeah.
And that's how he sees us. And, like, he wants... Like, God's all about inviting us to be a part of what he's building, be a part of what he's doing. So we're not just, like, you know, useless people that are just like, oh, well, I get to benefit, I praise, like, whatever. Like, God wants to use us to build more and more. And
yeah.
So, and that's the vision that he has. And if he can,
so great.
If he can, you know, place that vision and demand on Peter, then he for sure can put that on us as well, you
for
know.
Real.
And we can look to something as, like, you know what? I am building this. I'm a part of building his kingdom.
Yeah, and you know, his kingdom is made up of people. And what you're saying is so powerful, because Jesus was building Peter into the man he was created to be. Jesus is building people. Jesus is building two things. I see Jesus is building two things when we talk about his kingdom. He's building each person individually into their destiny and into what he wants us to be. And he's building his church. He's building his family, his church family, which is us.
Yeah.
And it's all churches that believe in Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
He's building each person individually, and he's building his church. If we would get in alignment with building people and building his church, then nothing can stop us from God's destiny for our lives.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage people. Somebody said that true leadership, the greatest calling of leadership, the highest calling of leadership, is the calling of developing people.
Mm.
And this is what makes you tick as a person. What I'm so proud of you, and what I learned from you about, even though you're my kid, I had to teach you everything when we started, but you're teaching me everything going forward now. I mean, and you're learning still too, but
I
really am. And our whole team is learning from something that is just etched inside of you, is you're a developer of people. And you love to challenge people, not in a negative way, but you love to bring out the best in people. And I believe that if everybody who's connected to us will believe in the greatness that God sees in them.
Yeah.
Believe in the greatness that God sees in you, and let us serve you.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, every Sunday, every day online, we're going to serve you to help develop you into the disciple that God created you
That's
to
right.
be. You already are that inside, you just don't know it. But Jesus sees it in you, just like he saw it in Peter, and he saw greatness, and he called greatness out. And he eventually, Peter became great.
Yeah.
Like, nobody thinks about Peter as the guy sinking in the water. We know that we think of him as, like, the chief apostle of the early church.
Mm.
We don't see him as the failure that he was many times, or many things that he failed at. We see him as, well, Catholics see him as the first pope, but we see him as really the chief apostle that led the other apostles after the resurrection and led them really well.
Yeah.
And he screwed up in some ways. Paul had to straighten out some of his theology. Paul had to come along and help Peter to really understand that the gospel's for everybody, not just for the Jews. And Peter really contributed so much to the world. And we have so much to thank him for. And if we would just take this as an example, God cannot see greatness in Peter without seeing greatness in you.
Yeah.
Because God is not a respecter. He doesn't play favorites.
Right.
We're all his favorite.
Right.
And so he sees greatness inside of you. In fact, I just wrote a couple things down.
Yeah.
That he sees greatness in you. When you can't see it, he renames you when you call yourself bad, negative things. We have to change our language about ourselves.
100%.
We have to change our language about ourselves.
And on that,
yes, we speak to that.
We're not always aware when our language is negative toward ourselves, because it's so natural and so subconscious that you could be in the shower and you could just be like, oh, why am I like this? Or why are I like, but you don't even realize it. And
yeah.
So we have to be very aware. And I'm talking to myself. I have to catch myself more. I have to like tune my thinking to make sure that I'm not letting negativity slide, because it will slide if we're not careful.
And
it's not about like, oh, like don't say that, but it's like, no, I'm not going to disrespect myself like
yeah.
that. I'm not going to stoop myself lower than how God sees me. And so we can actually control that. We just have to tune our awareness a little bit more to catch that. So I just wanted to say that.
No, I think that's really good. And I think every person, I think across the board, around the world, everybody wants to know God's calling upon their life.
Yeah.
Everybody has a calling from God, but everybody really wants to know what their calling is. Am I called to be an evangelist? Am I called to be a business person? Am I called to be this or be that? People really want to please God. They really want to know what his calling is in their life. And here is the secret to discovering your calling.
Come on.
If you want to know your calling, you start by calling yourself what God calls you.
Mm.
And when you start calling yourself what God calls you, you will begin to step into your calling. Because you can't step into your calling until you start calling yourself what God calls you.
That's great.
And God calls us blessed. God calls us loved. God calls us his sons and daughters. God calls us his righteousness. God calls us his beloved.
Yep.
God calls us the apple of his eye. Like, there's no negative name that God has for us.
Right, right.
You can't find one nickname that God has for us that's negative
right.
or that's sour. Every nickname God has for us is powerful and positive. I will call you my beloved. I call you my redeemed. I call you my sons and daughters. I call you blessed coming in and blessed going out. You're the head and not the tail. You're
Come
above
on.
Only, not beneath. I mean, we can go on this forever. And this is what he calls us. And I'm telling you, gang, if you will start calling yourself what God already calls you, you will begin to step into your destiny and step into God's purpose for your life.
Yeah.
But you got to stop calling yourself what you called yourself. You got to stop calling yourself something that limits you, and you got to start calling yourself what God calls you.
Yeah, 100%.
That's when your calling begins.
I love that.
Start calling yourself what God calls you. I am his beloved. Alex and I joke with each other all the time about this, when we'll text or email each other, talk, and God told him, just like he told me in Mark 1:11, you are my beloved son. And so we just claim that about ourselves. God nicknamed me his beloved. God nicknamed you his beloved. God nicknamed Alex his beloved. We're all his beloved. That's what he calls us.
Yeah.
Like when you start calling yourself that, guess what's going to flow through your life? Love.
Yeah, yeah.
When you start calling yourself a son or daughter of God, guess what's going to flow out of your life? Acceptance towards others.
Yeah.
When you start calling yourself healed, guess what's going to flow from your life? Healing.
Come on.
When you start calling yourself blessed, guess what's going to flow in your life? Blessing.
Come on.
And we're not calling ourselves something that we're making up ourselves.
Right,
we're
right.
calling ourselves what God already calls us.
Yeah, 100%.
Woo, that's where the power flows.
Yeah.
That's where the power flows.
We need to take that authority for ourselves.
Take that authority.
To claim what's already been given to us, to claim the names that have already been given to us. You know, we can't tiptoe as like, oh, I don't know if I'm worthy of that. I don't know if I deserve that. I don't know if God could, you know, accept me. He's already done it. So we got to stop wasting our own time by like acting, playing stupid, playing dumb, and thinking, oh, like, I don't know if I fit under that. But no, like,
that's so good.
If we're his, then we're his.
We're his.
And there's no question
we're his.
To it.
We're so. His. Isaiah 43:1 says, I have redeemed you.
Come on.
God says, I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Boy, you are mine.
Hmm.
When you, God doesn't say that in any way to be controlling. He
right.
says it in the most beloved way. He says
right.
it in the most endearing, you're mine. Child, you are mine. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, he says, they will not overflow you. They were not. He says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Why? Because you are who God says you are.
Yeah.
Start calling yourself what God calls you, and you will step in to your calling.
That's brilliant.
So,
wow.
I want to invite you, before we close, I want to invite those of you that are watching, maybe you don't feel like you're a child of God yet. You don't feel like you're born again. You don't believe you're going to heaven when you die. You're not sure. It's so easy to be sure. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All I want to invite you to do is believe in Jesus. Just say this out loud if you'd like to be sure you're going to heaven when you die. Say this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father. Just say that. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came to die for me. He rose from the dead, and I am now his, and he is now mine. That's how easy salvation is. God, it wasn't easy for Jesus to die on the cross. He did all the hard work, but he wanted you to have the easy part, to just receive this precious gift because he loves you so. If you prayed that prayer with me, let us know. Email me. There should be something on your screen or in the comment box. Let me know. I want to send you this book. You can download this book anywhere in the world, absolutely free, The Power of a New Life. It's a Bible study that'll help you go through the next steps of this Christian journey.
Yeah.
I got a story to tell for next time about you and
okay.
about stepping into your
Uh-oh.
Authority. It's people are going to love it, but you'll have to tune in next week for it.
Wow, what a cliffhanger. That's amazing. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being with us. What a powerful night we
You're
had.
You're the best, Global Family.
And,
we love you guys.
Yeah, like you said, you got a word for this Sunday. So make sure you guys are with us on Sunday. It's going to be awesome. We love you guys,
love you.
And we'll see you then. Peace out.